evening. Good to see each one of you back tonight for our service. Would you stand, please? Turn to page 236. Page 236, whosoever will may come. Aren't you thankful for that promise tonight? Let's sing all three verses as we begin. Page 236.
Whosoever heareth, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Promise is secure. Whosoever will forever. His life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come.
Amen.
Amen. Sure thankful for that promise. Amen. Good to see you here tonight. Let's open up in a word of prayer and do have some announcements we want to make tonight, but sure thankful you're here. Glad to have those tuning in on live stream as well. Brother David Griffin, would you open us in prayer tonight, brother? Amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, of course, tonight again is our kind of what we would say is limited service. I can't remember. It's DEFCON 2. Amen. Of course, our regular service tonight. But looking forward to this coming Wednesday night, the 19th, we'll be getting back to our regular services. So that means our buses will be going out. We'll be having our kids' classes downstairs as well as our teen class over in the Fellowship Hall building there, and then looking forward to our regular services. That's just a real blessing there. Of course, if you have kids in Faith Baptist School, don't forget about there'll be no school tomorrow in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And then, of course, this coming Friday, January the 21st, there'll be a field trip for those at school, and then basketball and volleyball games versus Heritage Baptist Church, their Christian school. And we'll be hosting those here at Faith Baptist Church over in the gymnasium, the E.J. Watson Gymnasium. And that'll be at 6 o'clock in the evening. And again, that's this coming Friday, January the 21st. And so I want to invite you to come out and be a part of that. And then, of course, January the 22nd, which is on a Saturday, be the church our church-wide outreach. And that'll be at 10:30 in the morning, meeting over in the Fellowship Hall. And then January the 23rd, next Sunday, be hosting missionary Matt Miller and his family going to Serbia. So he'll be presenting in the Sunday school hour. So we are going to combine our Sunday school classes or our adult Sunday school classes as well as our teen class we'll have over here. And then he'll be preaching in the evening service. I want to ask if you'd take your Bibles really quickly and go with me to the book of Colossians and chapter number 1. And yes, I'm going to preach during the announcements, all right? So Colossians and chapter number 1. You look like you need a change tonight and things, and so I'm going to have a real interesting change. I forgot my eyeballs here. So Colossians chapter number 1, and I want to just tonight introduce to you our theme for 2022, and I'm actually, the reason I'm doing that here is because what I'd like to do is, since we're hosting our missionary family, and they're going to be doing Sunday school, and then Brother Miller going to be preaching the evening service, what I'd like to do is next Sunday morning maybe preach on our theme for the year. But in Colossians 1:18 it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." And this is our theme right here, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Well, I'm telling you, Christ ought to have first place. That's what that means right there. He ought to rank at the very top in this church. And I believe that'd be a great theme for this year, and putting Christ first. And so that's what we're going to be looking at, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. Also wanted to mention some of these things. You can put your Bible. That's all the preaching I'm going to do during announcements. All right, I got plenty more later. So, January the 30th, the following Sunday, be it a linger longer following the evening service. And then those married couples that signed up for the Midwest Couples Retreat, make sure that you turn your money in as soon as possible. If you're planning on staying in the hotel, it's $170. The services, if you signed up for just going to the services, it's $85. Make sure you turn your money in for that. But don't forget about, that's February the 4th and the 5th. And then got quite a few things coming up in the month of February. I know we've got missionary Kent Hogan's going to be preaching and filling the pulpit. Some of our guys are going to be preaching. And then we're going to have the annual Bacon and Bullets at the end of February, men. So don't forget about that. And praise God, we can have bullets and bacon. Amen. So last year we just had bacon. Amen. So, all right, brother, come on ahead.
Amen. Stand with me, if you would, please. Turn to page 223. Seems like we heard a message on this morning. Standing on the promises, standing on the Word of God. Let's sing it out together. All four verses, page 223. Sing it out on that first verse. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms and doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Standing. been a great day in the Lord's house today. Now we get to give back to our Lord just a little bit of what He's blessed us so much with. Amen. Pastor Brother Luke Stewart, would you pray for the offering tonight, please? Amen. You may be seated tonight. Turn to page 176 and stand one last time with me if you would. There's power, power, power in the blood. You believe that tonight? Amen. Page 176. Let's sing it out on that first verse. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Sing it out with me there. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Amen. Great singing. You may be seated. This time we'll have a special for Miss Lizzie Parker right before the message tonight.
I found grace to save my soul. At the cross, grace made me whole. When my Savior took control and washed my sin away. Now the fellowship is sweet. trusting in my God above. Grace for every need, grace that overflows and far exceeds, lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by His grace. Every valley I have known, such compassion I've been shown, given strength that's not my own, it's only by His grace. Every valley that I bear, Jesus comes and meets me there. Only by His grace I have found this holy place. Underneath His wings of love, resting in my God. Lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by His grace, only by His grace. God's grace.
You're glad for God's grace tonight. What a blessing. Enjoyed that. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and stand in honor of God's Word, if you're able to stand, and turn with me to the fourth book of Moses tonight, the book of Numbers once again. The book of Numbers once again, and chapter number 20 tonight. The book of Numbers and chapter number 20 tonight. I'm going to read verse number 1 to you tonight, and then we're going to skip down and kind of finish out the chapter. In verse number 1 of Numbers in chapter 20, the Bible says this: Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam, who said to be the sister of Moses, died there and was buried there. Now skip down with me, if you would, to verse number 12. We even looked at this last week as well. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and He was sanctified in them. And then in verse number 14, it goes on to say this, And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, Thus saith thy brother, now notice the language here, thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers, and when we cried unto the Lord, He heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand or nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then will I pay for it. I will only without doing anything else go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom
refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and Mount Hor and by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son, and died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount, and when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. And Lord, you know my heart. And I need your help tonight. Lord, some things here that certainly might be difficult to hear, but God, we need to hear them tonight. Because Lord, we need to be faithful tonight. So help us, Lord. Help me to preach tonight. Help your people and even my own self to receive it. Speak to us tonight, encourage us, challenge us, convict us tonight. Bless the preaching, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, if you remember from last week, we looked at part of this passage, particularly Moses being denied entry into the promised land because he struck the rock twice. And we know that that was to be a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not have to die on the cross of Calvary more than one time. No, he died once and for all. And so that's the idea there. Moses, though, in a moment of fury and anger, cost himself that which he had spent the last 40 years looking forward to, meaning the promised land. And so he was not allowed entry into it. And we saw the lesson on how when you and I respond to an angry world like the world, meaning in anger, I'm going to tell you something, my friend, it can cost us as well. Really, mainly this, we ruin the picture of Jesus Christ that this world needs to see. Somebody say amen tonight. But tonight, I want to look at these things once again. So, man, preacher, you're going to preach the same message? No, not at all. Because I think something needs to be said tonight about the faithfulness of Moses through all of these things. I want you to think about this. As I mentioned last week, chapter 20 is characterized by difficulty. The death of Miriam, the denial to enter into the promised land, the dismissal of Edom that we just read, and even the death of Aaron that ends the chapter. But if you'll notice something, though Moses goes through all of these things and deals with all of these things, Moses doesn't quit. Moses doesn't give up. Moses doesn't complain and murmur even after being told that he will not enter into the promised land. No, my friend, Moses keeps going and serving and is faithful to his Lord God. And I'm saying to you tonight that you and I as God's people need to learn to have faithfulness through adversity. And that's what I titled the message tonight. I'm just telling you, listen, if there's ever a day when you and I are seeing a great falling away, I'm just telling you, we're watching it in our day and time. And you and I need to learn that God is still on the throne and we still need to be faithful in serving our God in this day and time. The story is told that Andrew Jackson's boyhood friends could not understand how he became a famous general and eventually the 7th president of the United States of America. They knew other men who had much greater and far superior talent than Andrew Jackson, but never succeeded. One of Jackson's childhood friends said, why Jim Brown, who lived right down the pike from Jackson, was not only smarter, but he could throw Andrew three times out of four in a wrestling match. But look where Andrew is now. I love the way kids talk, amen. Another friend responded, how did there happen to be a fourth time? Didn't they usually say three times and it's over? Sure, they were supposed to, but not Andrew. He would never admit he was beat. He would never say this, I've been throwed. Instead, Jim Brown would get tired, and on the fourth try, Andrew Jackson would throw him down and be the winner. Picking up on that idea, someone said, the thing that counts is not how many times you've been thrown, but whether you're going to stay thrown. Does anybody get what I'm saying? You know, listen, I realize that's a little southern vernacular, but that'll help you right there, amen. As the scriptures say it like this in Proverbs 24 and verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that Moses demonstrates this same type of faithfulness through adversity throughout this chapter. He refuses to stay throwed, if you will. He keeps going and he keeps getting back up. And what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this, is that I'm a firm believer that this type of mentality and this type of strength in the inner man, it is missing today among God's people. You and I know this tonight. Listen, you and I know this. Once again, we are reminded from the life of Moses that difficult things happen to good people. But good people will go through difficult things. Hey, listen, good people will fail. They'll fail, and they'll suffer the consequences of their failures. And the point is this, is that adversity in the Christian life, listen, it's not a matter of if it comes. It's simply a matter of when, because it's going to come. I'm just telling you tonight, death is going to come. So many of us know that tonight. Chastisement will happen when we disobey God, and we will fail, but it's character. And again, strength in the inner man that responds with faithfulness through adversity. Someone once said, character is what you are when no one is looking. It's character that puts the shopping cart back in the stall in the Walmart parking lot. I'm going to tell you this, it ought to be character that pushes them back up there. So, meaning the employees that push them back up there so we got a shopping cart that works in the Walmart store, amen. It's character that aligns the wheels and gets all the stuff out there so they roll smoothly. Anyways, that wasn't in my notes. Some of you look like you need to laugh tonight. Amen. But I also believe this. Character is who you are when adversity comes. Adversity is the fire that reveals our faith. It's like the heat when it's put on a metal and you put that 5,000 degree blowtorch on metal. I'm going to tell you something, things will happen. Listen to a former welder. Listen, it becomes moldable. It removes the impurities. By the way, it also brings to surface what was underneath. And adversity is the same way. As Moses deals with all of these things. And listen, I realize we could look at this and see the great tragedy and the failure of Moses. But I'm going to tell you something. When you look at this chapter as a whole, one thing is constant throughout it and comes to the surface in the life of Moses, and that is this. He is faithful. He never wavers. He doesn't quit. He doesn't turn back. He doesn't murmur and complain like the rest of the children of Israel. He simply continues to serve God and to minister and to lead the people of God. And listen, if I could say this tonight, and please don't misunderstand this. I'm just saying we need some more Moses in our day and time. Meaning faithful men and women and young people of God that are going to commit and serve God no matter what comes their way in their life. Let's go ahead and get into this thing tonight. I just want to give you some things that Moses, just to look at and maybe delve into and maybe draw out some things that are very applicable to our day and time. Number one tonight, Moses was faithful through the adversity of death. As already seen last week in verse number one, Miriam, the sister of Moses, died there in Kadesh, just outside of the promised land. And then beginning in verse 22 that we read tonight, and I'm not going to go back and reread all of that, but we know this, the Lord calls out Moses and Aaron to come up to Mount Hor, and where Aaron will die as well. And of course, the office of the high priest will be taken by his son Eliezer. Though death is a reality for the living, and the child of God has the promises of eternal life, I want you to listen to this tonight. That does not mean that there is no sorrow or grief, or even if I could say it like this, adversity that comes with that. I remember in my early years of pastoring, you know, when I was younger, I used to think I knew all the answers and all the questions. And now as I'm older, I don't even know the questions anymore. Amen. I said to somebody the other day, I'm just hanging on to a piece of driftwood trying not to drown right now. But I can remember going out, and we were door knocking and on our outreach there, and I knocked on this lady's door, and she opened the door. And when she opened the door, you could see she was wiping away tears. She was an older woman, and just nice place there, beautiful little house there in Cassville, and she's wiping away her tears. And I looked at her and said, "Ma'am, you okay?" And she said, "Well," she said, "my husband just passed away, and we had his funeral a couple of days ago, and I was just going through some of his things this morning." And listen, in my youth and in my arrogance, I started talking with her, and I said, "Well, ma'am," I said, did you guys go to church anywhere?" And she's like, "Yeah, we went to such and such church here in town." And I said, did you guys know the Lord Jesus?" "Oh, yeah, we know the Lord, and sure thankful for that. I know where He's at. I'm grateful for all of that." And I said, "Well, ma'am," I said, and this was my arrogance. "Well, ma'am, you know the Bible says this, we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope." And she looked at me and she said, "Yes, preacher, I know that." She said, "But that don't mean we won't sorrow." And I'm going to tell you something. I felt about as small and as annoying and arrogant as a gnat right about that time. And I did. Listen, she invited me in and we talked for a little bit. And I prayed with her and tried to do my best to encourage her. But I'm going to tell you something. I left that day with a tremendous life lesson. And that is this, that listen, when death comes, listen, there's sorrow that comes with that and grief that comes with that, adversity that comes with that in the life of, listen, even a believer. Listen, I praise God, we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope, but I'm telling you, she was right, there is still sorrow that comes with that, and grief and loss and all of those things. And so you understand tonight, listen, it does bring with it adversity, and by the way, it also reveals our faith. I'll never forget when I first became the pastor there at Bible Baptist in Cassville. It wasn't even a full weekend, and I was baptized by fire. You understand, there was a dear lady in the church that had a stroke. I mean, I wasn't even a full week, and she had a stroke. And 4 days later, she went home to be with the Lord. And her husband had been faithful members there for several years. I ministered to them and their family, preached her funeral, and then got back into pastoring there and all of those things. And I noticed something as I began to pastor. I noticed that her husband had not come back to church after her death. And so I went out and visited with him one weekend, encouraged him to come back. And a couple weeks later, he still hadn't come back, so I went out again. And after a few weeks later after that, others went out asking where Brother so-and-so was. And they went out, and we went out. And listen, after a while, we begin to realize he never came back. And the reason he never came back was because he only went to church because his wife went to church. What I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that death revealed where his faith was truly at. Unfortunately, it was in her rather than in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just saying to you that over the years, I've seen this same scenario, or even one very similar to it, take place in the lives of people. When death comes, it is an adversity that reveals where our faith is truly at. But I want to say to you tonight that as death came in the life of Moses through his sister and then his brother, it was Moses that had his faith in God and kept going no matter what. Death typically comes in two forms, the expected and the unexpected. Note that I did not say convenient. Because birth and death are never convenient. But it's usually expected and unexpected. And maybe we could say this tonight, perhaps Moses experienced both with the loss of his sister and his brother. Though the Bible doesn't specifically clarify, Miriam was the older sister. So perhaps she did have a good long life, and this was something that we could say maybe tonight was somewhat expected. Perhaps her health had declined. They knew the inevitable was near. However, the death of Aaron was the result of his disobedience with Moses in striking the rock twice. And if I could say it like this, it was an unexpected death, but yet Moses remained faithful to the Lord in it. I believe what helped Moses and what can help you and I tonight through this type of adversity is to keep two things clearly in the front of our minds. And I want you to listen to this tonight. One of those is this, the principle of God's Word concerning death. Well, what is that? Well, the Bible makes it clear the wages of sin is death. You understand, death is part of the sin curse tonight. Somebody say amen. What I'm trying to say to you is this, is that it would have been real easy for Moses to become selfish here and in his pride make the claim that Aaron didn't deserve this. But the reality is he did. Well, why? Because he's a sinner. You know, even most commentators in this chapter, they spend a tremendous amount of time explaining the swift judgment of God on Aaron's life here because the average reader, on Aaron's life and Moses here, because the average reader and student of the Bible seems to think that this is a harsh penalty. But you don't see that from Moses. Well, why? Well, because Moses understood that death is the result of our sin curse. And God is sovereign. We are the sheep of His pasture. And He has the right in authority to do what He will with His sheep. And the point is it's very easy for us tonight to embrace the mentality of our culture and to let death be an adversity that overwhelms us and causes us to quit on God, because the constant cry of the culture is this: you don't deserve that. Did you ever notice how that's becoming more of a prominent message? Listen to the commercials on TV. Listen to the things that are constant. You don't deserve cancer. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve those things. We don't deserve this terrible. Listen, you don't deserve COVID. You don't deserve this. Hey, I heard one today, this afternoon. After all, you're worth it. I'm thinking, he don't know me very well, because I'm not worth diddly squat. Amen. At least that's what my critics say. I don't. In fact, you deserve a new car. I do. A Jeep. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? You deserve perfect health and wealth. See, even religions embrace the message, see? See, Mike, you guys are quiet tonight. Does anybody get what I'm saying to you? I'm just telling you, this is the constant cry of the culture. And while we would sit back and maybe start thinking of scenarios where, wait a minute, can you say that they deserve that? And can you say, while those things might sound pleasant to the ears, that's not Bible. That's not Bible. And I'm just telling you tonight, the Bible makes it very... Listen, this is why people get mad when you say things like this: we deserve hell.
That's right.
Well, wait a minute, I don't deserve hell. Look at how great I am.
You know what the problem is? The problem is this, is that we've been brainwashed by this culture to make men our standard. And so, well, I do, after all, I do feel like I don't deserve those things, and I do. I am worth it. I mean, after all, look at so-and-so on the other end of the pew. Don't start looking down the end of the pew and going, right? Well, yeah, he's right. But see, that's the problem. Is that we look out there and we go, oh, look at that person, and look at that person, and we look down our noses and we think that since we're better than them. But see, that's the problem, is that you're not the standard. And man is not the standard. He's the standard.
Amen.
And none of us meet that standard. Well, why is that, preacher? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm just telling you, because of that sin, and because of that sin curse, I'm just saying to you tonight that we live in this sin-cursed world. And death is a reality of that. Death, from the young to the old, is part of this sin-cursed world. It's part of it. And Moses understood that. And so the one thing there is the principle of God's Word concerning death. But the other thing is this, the promise of God's Word. Moses never complained that Aaron didn't deserve this. And he never complained, God, this is unfair to me. You're taking away my mouthpiece. You're taking away my brother. Being the mouthpiece, though, is more important than him being my brother. It's brotherly love for you right there. Moses never said those things. And here's why. Because Moses understood that what Aaron would receive in death, meaning paradise in Abraham's bosom, was far better than the temporal promised land they were headed to. Notice it says there in that passage that he will die. He will be gathered unto his people. Listen, last time I checked, even Jesus said God is the God of the living, not the dead. Somebody say amen tonight. I'm telling you, listen, the promises of eternity with God were just as real for the people of God in the Old Testament as they are tonight for us in the New Testament. They were. But I'm saying to you tonight this, we have become a very selfish people, even in the area of death. Listen, this is very fresh on my mind and on my heart. In fact, I was thinking about tonight and this afternoon as I was studying, and even yesterday as I was meditating on this and even preaching a funeral in the snow. Mercy. Whew, I told them people, I said, the only thing white I like on the ground is beach sand. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was my mom that I was talking to about this during the passing of my stepdad just this past month. And the subject of the DNR had come up. A lot of you know what that is, as you've maybe gone through something like this. It just simply means this, do not resuscitate. That's what a DNR is. And generally speaking, it's the idea that if a loved one is suffering and about to die and they stop breathing, well, if you sign the DNR, you're giving permission for the doctors to let them go ahead and pass away. But if you don't sign it, then they can go in and try to resuscitate them. And so we were all in agreement that my stepdad, him having the heart attack that he had had and had been suffering for over a year and a half or so and just gone through so much, and we were just of the mindset that we didn't want him to suffer anymore, and if this was God's plan and God's will that he would go ahead and call him home, then we wanted to let God have his way. And so we signed it, or we were going to sign it. And as that decision was reached, the doctors even agreed with our family, but they also said this, and if I'm not mistaken, this was my mom I was having this conversation with. They said this, you'd be surprised at how families can be during these times and refuse to sign it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not ignorant.
that there can be certain circumstances and hope that maybe they'll pull through. I get all of that. And every family needs to pray and seek God's will on those things. I get all of that. I'm not trying to insinuate anything. I'm just simply trying to say this, that in many of those cases, it's simply the family being selfish because they're not willing to face grief and loss, and instead they refuse to sign it because they would rather them allow their loved ones to suffer than them to face the grief. That's selfishness. And that's just one example, if you will, in a multitude of scenarios that you and I could maybe bring out tonight. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that when it comes to the child of God, folks, you need to listen to this tonight. We have the wonderful promise of heaven and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And if we say that we believe that, then why not act like it? And live like it. So, preacher, I mean, those are bold words. And I mean, you don't understand. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, I'm where a lot of you are at in death. I realize tonight the crowd that's among me and the people that God has called me to and the things that people have gone through over the last few months or years or whatever. And I'm not trying to in any way, shape, or form minimize or belittle or any of those things, but what I'm saying to you tonight is this, is that Moses was faithful in these things because he understood that death is part of life, it's part of the sin curse, but he also understood that for the child of God, on the other side, my friend, is a life eternal with our God, and that's far better than this place. And maybe it is that you and I need tonight to maybe be careful about making an idol out of our loved ones, or even our own grief that we're bearing. Brother Gray, Leon Gray, Brother Bellis told me this one the other day. I don't know that I'd ever got to hear Brother Gray say it, but he said, he used to say this, let go and let God. I think that'd be good advice. Just let go and trust God. Be faithful. In fact, look down at verse number 12. It says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. See, Moses was also faithful through the adversity of being denied by God. Imagine if you had a heart's desire to be married, but God's plan was for you to remain single. Or you had a heart's desire to have children, but God gave you a barren womb. Or to have a successful career, only to suffer an injury that prevented you to be able to operate in the workforce. What I'm saying to you tonight is that this would be the equivalent of what was taken away from Moses in an instant. What he had lived for and looked forward to for the last 40 years was now gone. But Moses stayed true to the Lord. But I want to say to you tonight this, I don't believe that this is a loss of dreams per se. I think maybe a better application would be this, it's a picture of chastisement. Moses struck the rock twice when God had said only to speak to the rock the second time. And the result of Moses' disobedience was the loss of being able to step foot in the promised land. But again, Moses stayed true to the Lord. But just as I've seen death be an adversity that caused many to quit on God, I've also seen chastisement be one as well. Sometimes there are those battles that we go through that we can't help. I'm telling you, none of us are going to stop death tonight. You can't help those things. They're just part of life, even the Christian life. But at the same time, there are also those battles we face because, well, it's kind of like the sign said, sometimes life is hard because we're dumb and we make bad decisions. Notice I said we. I didn't just say you. Stop looking at me like that. But we are. Marrying the wrong person. getting outside of God's will and plan for our lives, even in moments of lust or anger, as is the case of Moses here, can all bring with it the chastening hand of God. I certainly thought about addictions and reaping what we have sown to the flesh. And I'm just telling you, I've seen this adversity be too much for too many. Pastoring in Cassville, and I know I probably mentioned this on a few occasions, but listen, that area, the 417 area in Missouri, in southwest Missouri, is the meth capital of the world. And we saw a lot of it come through there, as well as a host of other addictions to pornography, alcohol, all of those kinds of things. And listen, while we saw people get saved, truly get saved and born again of the Spirit of God, victory over the flesh and overcoming the chastisement and consequences from those sins was something of another battle. What was done in a moment had years of consequences with it. And when you find out that it's going to take you years to overcome them, I'm just telling you, people tend to quit and give up. That's the way we are, man. We want to mess it all up in a moment's notice, but then we want to fix it all in a moment's notice. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Life ain't like a bag of popcorn. Things don't change in a matter of 2 minutes and 30 seconds. For some of us, that's too long for a bag of popcorn, isn't it? Preach. Preach! It's kind of like weight loss. Oh, now we're meddling. I don't even want to have to explain the type of pressure that's on my belt buckle tonight. I'll tell you something. I want you to listen. It doesn't take me long to put on a few pounds. And I'm pretty sure I set a record through this holiday season. Son, I'm telling you, I ate Whataburger almost every day while I was in Florida on Christmas vacation. Amen. Well, listen, you got to cope with things. Ministry, stress. Had I known I was coming back to this, I'd ate a whole lot more Whataburger. But I'm going to listen, what comes with that is things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, borderline diabetes. I remember one time I had gained so much weight, and I went and got my checkup. I was on blood pressure medicine, and the nurse called me and said, "Mr. Stewart, you are borderline. Your cholesterol is really high, and you're borderline diabetic." And I literally said this. I said, "Are you telling me I cannot eat any more Andy's frozen custard?" And she said this to me, "Yes, sir, that's exactly what I'm telling you." And then she paused for a moment, and she said, "But it's good stuff, isn't it?" You know, and what kind of medical... Anyways. And in the past, you can either take a bunch of pills and keep doing whatever it is you're doing, or you can get to work. And I did. I got to work when all of that took place. And what only took me just a few months to put on took me a whole lot longer to work off. And I'm going to tell you something. When I was putting it on, it was a great time. And when I was taking it off, it was not a great time. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this. I want you to listen to this. We can laugh and have a good time with all that, and that's fine at my expense. Fine, whatever. But you need to listen to this tonight. Sin is the same way. It's the same way. It's pleasurable for a season. But you can't choose the consequences of it. And what may only have taken you a season can cost you a whole lot more and take a whole lot longer to overcome and get victory over. So how did Moses go on? How did he keep doing it? I mean, here's God, and he disobeyed, and mercy had cost him. How did Moses do that? Well, I believe Moses understood the principle and purpose of chastisement. Go with me. Hold your place there in Numbers chapter 20, and we're almost done tonight. Look at Hebrews in chapter number 12. I'm a firm believer that you cannot deal with the subject of chastisement without looking at this passage in Hebrews 12. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. And look at verse number 5. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Now here is the principle right here of chastisement. Listen to what he says. He says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." What he's saying right here is this: the reason that God chastens you and chastens me when we sin and disobey Him is, here's why: He loves us. Well, friend, what father who truly loves his children doesn't discipline his children? The answer is none. And some of us tonight could say, "Man, my dad loved me a lot then." Amen. But you might have needed a lot of loving, because you had a lot of stubbornness. I was a great kid. A father who loves his children. Listen, a father who loves his children, listen, he loves them enough to, he doesn't want to see them destroy their lives with evil. And the point is this: so too does our Heavenly Father, which is why He chastens us. Not because He's mad at us, but because He loves us. And by the way, notice, let's keep reading there. Look at verse number 9. Notice the next thing He says: "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." Son, that's some serious bloodshed behind the woodshed right there. A few days? Praise God, mine was just a few moments. Amen. "But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." Somebody say amen right there. Absolutely. "Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So what are you trying to say, preacher? You know what God? Why God does what He does? Because He loves us, and here's why. Because He wants your whole heart and life. He desires holiness, righteousness, obedience. And couldn't we say tonight that that's really the best life to live as a child of God? I mean, it's almost like God loves us and wants the best for us. Tongue in cheek there. Because He does. Because He does. So rather than giving up, wanting to quit on God, maybe even getting bitter and angry towards Him, maybe even clinging to your sin tonight and refusing to let go, let me help you with something. Go ahead and humble yourself and get right with God so that you can go on and serve God faithfully. Because that is exactly what Moses did. That's why he kept on going and doing what he did. Let me give you the last thing tonight. Look at verse number 14 of our text in Numbers chapter 20. "And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith," now notice the language here, "thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us." And of course he goes on down and explains to them their background. And by the way, they knew that. They heard those things. They heard what God did. And all they wanted to do was to pass through on the king's highway and not, they just wanted to go through. But yet they were dismissed by the Edomites, but yet Moses would remain faithful through it all. Where the previous thought gives us a picture of chastisement, I believe this one tonight gives us a picture of persecution. The Edomites were descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob, who is Israel. I know he calls them brother here because they were the brother of Israel. But really, all of these descendants, they were like 8, 9, 10, 12, 15th cousins. Something like that. And the reason that I say that is because many of us know tonight where your cousins can sometimes be your best friends, they can also be your worst enemies. All right, just a little family help for you tonight. Hence the Edomites, all right? Though the Israelites were related to them, and we understand that tonight, Moses promised to stay on the king's highway and replace and purchase any necessities, but this wasn't enough. They dismissed the Israelites and would not let them pass through. And instead, Israel would be forced to go around making their journey even longer. But again, Moses didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't complain. He accepted the dismissal and went on leading God's people for God's glory. And by the way, God will deal with the Edomites later on. You say, preacher, what's the point? Well, here's the point. Sometimes rejection comes from unlikely places, unlikely people. People who you would respect to receive you, reject you, dismiss you, oppose you, go against you. Sometimes it comes, no matter how gracious you can be, how Christ-like you can be, even them knowing what God has done in your life, as the Edomites did right here. The mocking. And I praise God for the religious freedom that we have, but that doesn't mean that things can't come our way as children of God. Oh, look, so-and-so's got religion now. Well, yeah, I got a little something more than that. I got a relationship with the God of heaven and earth through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose again. Somebody say amen. Listen, I don't serve a dead God or a dead religion. I've got a living God and a Savior that loves me and died for me and forgave me of all my sin and given me the promise of eternal life. Or my personal favorite. Oh, look. Oh, yeah, you go to that church. Oh, yeah. You mean the one that still sings out of them old weird hymn books? You mean the one that still uses that archaic, authorized King James Bible? You mean the one where the preacher shouts and spits and hollers and jumps on the pew and the people say amen? I mean, listen, you go into some Baptist churches today, I've been in there and said amen, and people all turned around and looked at me, and I went, what? You were supposed to be doing that too. Don't look at me. Read the Bible. That's what they did when Ezra the scribe gave the word of God. All the people said, amen. That's right. You know what that means? That means it wasn't just Ezra, the man of God, that believed the word of God. It was all the people that believed the word of God too. You mean they still preach on hell there? And repentance? And living a separated life unto God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You and I are going to hear all that stuff. And don't be shocked. Listen to me. Don't be shocked as the Lord tarries that it gets worse even in America. But the reality is this. That's what Christ said would happen. All they, listen to me, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to come our way when we live for Christ. But instead of responding like the apostles did, who rejoiced because they counted themselves not worthy to suffer as Christ did for them, we get curled up in the fetal position and stick our thumb in our mouth and want to quit and cry and whine and all those things. Please don't misunderstand me again tonight. I'm not trying to minimize some of the things that people go through as a result of their faith. I want to tell you tonight, I've been there. I've been there when people, sometimes the closest to you, ridicule you or accuse you of being in a cult and slander you and all of those things and say things about, listen, I've been, and I realize that it can hurt. at times. And by the way, I've seen families in the churches that I have pastored. They go through those very same things. And as their pastor, it breaks your heart because you know what they are experiencing. I mean, no doubt Moses. I mean, he's saying, hey, you're our brother. Don't treat us like this. But at the same time, I want to say to you tonight, listen to me. We can't quit on God. We can't throw in the towel and give up just because everybody doesn't agree with us. Shocker. What you're going to find out, especially as you start believing this book, is it's going to be very rare that somebody agrees with you and me. You know, the truth of the matter is we must press forward as Moses did. And you know what? Let God deal with them. Why do you say all these things tonight, preacher? Well, here's why. Because Moses already failed in sending the right message once. When did he do that? When he struck the rock twice. And Moses wasn't going to do it again. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this. When you and I give up and we quit and we cave to the pressure, you know what we're doing? We're sending the wrong message. We're saying this. You were right. We were wrong. It was all fake. When it's not. Rather, we ought to stay faithful. Because we serve a living God. His word is true. And that's what He's called you and me to do. Let me ask you something tonight. Adversity is not a matter of if, but when it's going to come. How are you going to respond to it? Listen, you've seen three things tonight: death, chastisement, being rejected by people that were supposed to be related to Him. Listen, we can sit here all night and talk about things that we're facing in our day and time, vastly different from these things. What are we going to do? We're going to curl up on the couch in our pajamas and drink a cup of coffee and have church on the couch? Or are we going to be faithful and serve God and live for God and show up and keep doing the things that God has called us to do? What about you tonight? Let's all stand.